Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now let's begin to round off everything we have been saying about this matter of foundations and pillars of financial prosperity. Now let me go over that again. There's a difference between foundations and pillars. Foundations are invisible. They are things that carry the whole building. They are the things that help us stand difficult times and the times of trial, though they are not visible. And I said that they reflect our spiritual state, our relationship with God, and the moral choices that we have made in life. That is, the things that I do that nobody sees are the things that are the foundation for my financial prosperity. The pillars, however, are the things that are outward. If I'm a diligent worker, I get up in the morning, everybody can see how diligent I am, how skilled I am with my business, how good I am with accounting. All those things are the pillars, all right, of financial prosperity. But the foundation, which is more important, is spiritual. It is not sin. The Bible says that what God rewards outwardly was done in secret. And we read from the Ecclesiastes chapter 12 again last time. He said, bear in mind that God will bring all things to judgment. He said, those things that are hidden. That is what God judges, especially are the things that people don't see. And I said that the motivation for why we do things is important before God, because those are the things that people cannot see. Is that all right? Now, the last time we analyzed Proverbs chapter 3 as our topic in beginning to round up this matter of foundations and pillars of financial prosperity. And I remember saying that from verse 1 to verse 12 of Proverbs chapter 3 was given in context. That the most important thing is that verse 1. It said, do not forget my teaching, my son, and let your heart keep my commandments. I said, that's the most important thing. Every other thing is subject to that. He said that you will live long. And I said that God always gives long life and prosperity together. He doesn't separate them. Is that okay? That is a single package. So while we're keeping his commandments, he said we should not forget in verse 3 of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 3. He said we should not forget that kindness and truth must not depart from us. We must carry them around on our hearts. He said, we must trust in the Lord with all our hearts, that's verse 5, and acknowledge him in all our ways. He said, if we do that, he will make our path straight, or he will lead us in the path of righteousness for his own name's sake. Like David said in Psalm 23. He said, we are not to be wise in our own eyes. Now, he now explained that we honor the Lord from our substance and from the first of all our produce, which I said is a sign that we believe God is the one supplying and we yet supply. Then last of all, of course, the result of all of these things I said, it is in verse 10. It says, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now remember what I said, it is not just about honoring God, because a lot of Christians, they are taught that once you give an offering, it doesn't matter. I have seen people trying to give an offering, you know, so as to be saved from their sins. I think it's quite silly. If you want to be saved from your sin, you know what you should do? You should repent, since now you know you are a sinner. Do you follow my point? I was listening to Ravi Zacharias the other day. He said, can I say I'm sorry when I'm still in custody of the things that are my iniquity, all right, produced for me? Are you following my point? I'm going to bring out something here. You cannot claim that you will give and God will help you when you are still walking in iniquity. It doesn't work. Are you following what I'm saying? So that people say that honor the Lord with thy substance and the first of all your produce, and then you will become very rich, which seems to be what this scripture is saying. But we forget that this is verse 9. Of something that began from verse 1. And they are not separate. You cannot honor the Lord with your substance and the first of all your produce while you are ignoring his commandments, while you are not trusting in him and acknowledging him in all your ways, and you expect that your vats will burst with wine and your barns will be overflowing, all right, with grain. It doesn't work like that. The way it works is this. We want our barns to be filled. That's what we are teaching. Foundations and pillars of financial or material prosperity. But we understand that we have to put many things together. It is not just that last line that leads to verse 10. It is from verse 1 to verse 10. Are you getting my point? And this is one thing I want to add to it, because one of the last major things I explained is the matter of prayer. I want to add the matter of thanksgiving again. Because we said God is working in our lives even when we are not aware. But there's one more thing I want to bring out. Verse 11. It said, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord, or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father the son in whom he delights. I remember that we also read from Lamentations chapter 3, in which Jeremiah explained, he said from verse 27, he said, it is good for a man that he should bear the yoke in his youth. He said, if God has placed it upon him for him to be, you know, for him to be rejected and punished, he said, let him relax and understand that God will not cause grief forever. That though he's causing troubles now for you, eventually he will have compassion. And then we also read from Habakkuk chapter 3, that it said, though the fig tree should not blossom, or and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, he said, yet I will exalt in the Lord, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Now, I'm putting all these things together to bring out one last issue as we close up this series of matter of financial prosperity. That sometimes we go through trials in life. That's what he was saying. Solomon explained something there. If you read that chapter 3 again, he went through all the principles of life that begets blessing. He went through all the principles that we have to obey so that long life, favor, and financial prosperity will be ours. He now said at the end of the day that when you have experienced financial prosperity, sometimes there will be troubles in life. Are you getting my point? And he said, be careful that you don't reject the teachings of God in the time of trouble. Please, that's what that thing was saying. When is, remember what I said? In fact, if you have a good Bible like mine, you see that he cut that thing into a section of, by itself, verses 1 to 12, because that was a teaching in itself. This is how you will achieve blessing in life, he was saying. All right? This is how you will achieve material prosperity. Now, having explained that, he now said that the time will come, that's just how life is, that you will experience something that will appear to be opposite, okay, to prosperity or blessing. And they call that thing the disciplining of the Lord. And he said, at that time, do not reject that discipline, all right? He said, or loathe his reproof. What it means is that, you know, a lot of us are very good at that. Once things are wrong, you know, like I said earlier, we start blaming people. We start looking for what the trouble is with other people. And then we start complaining as if God has forsaken us. But the fact is that God, the fact that you're having trying times does not mean that God has forsaken you. In fact, trying times is when God filters those who are really not with him, you know, who are just serving him for what they can get. And this is what actually lays the foundation for eternal and long-standing prosperity for us, that we learn how to hold on to God even in the midst of adversity. Remember I said that the last key I'm bringing all of this is a matter of thanksgiving. Now, when you are going through difficult times, the key is what we have learned from Habakkuk. He said, what do I do even if I'm experiencing difficult times? Even if things appear like they are not working as they are supposed to work. He said, what I will do is that I will exalt, that's verse 18, in the Lord, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation, because I understand that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. God has a purpose for the time of our leanness. He has a purpose for the time of our adversity. We are talking about financial prosperity, but as we are working in life, working closely with God, there will be times that it will appear as if difficult times will come. Are you getting my point? But there's something I want you to understand. If you hold on to your faith, if you hold on to the things that you know to be true, because it's a problem. A lot of times when people are having problems like that, people start coming to them with solutions. So the reason why you are having this problem is because when we told you to be doing business this sharp way, you refuse to do it. And this is the interesting part. The man who is talking to you like that, you will see what he has gotten from the evil that he's doing. You know, I've talked to people before, you know, maybe in the markets. You go to buy something. This one is fake. The man will tell you after plenty talk that I know. But the truth is that this is the one that sells. Are you getting my point? All right, even if that's the one that sells, why do you want to claim that it's the original one? Why don't they say, dear customers, that's the fake product, but it sells, so I have kept it for you people. The only reason, look, that all those things are lies, that is the one that sells. If you really believe it's the one that sells, label it accurately and don't deceive anybody. Are you getting my point? Now, those who teach people like that, they make it appear as if that is the quickest way to make money. But the fact is that that is the quickest way to make money that will not last. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That is, yes, you will get the results today, but we are not teaching quick results. All right? That's not what we are teaching. We're not teaching quick results. What are we teaching? We are teaching enduring results. That's what's most important. I said something to us before, that there's nothing that the devil offers anybody that God was not planning to give the person. The difference is timing and the requirements. Satan will say, you've just left school. Why do you have to wait till you are 50 to build a house and buy all the cars and travel over the world? How old are you? You are 24. Hey, we can do it now. Are you getting my point? Then starts telling you the sharp ways to do it. And you start seeing examples. And those who are going to teach you, they will come with their cards and show you their bank accounts to show you that it works. That what we are describing is exactly the way it's supposed to be. Alright? But listen to me. What does God say? God says, walk before me and be perfect. You will walk with me patiently and wait until the time that my visitation will come. That's where the problem is. Because sometimes God will appear to be taking so much time. But really, God may take time. He doesn't waste time. Let me say that again. He may take time, but he doesn't waste it. If God takes 1 year, 2 years, that means that those are the number of days and years that he requires to perfect you for your blessing. Because the blessings of God, they are heavy. They are weighty. That's why the Bible talks about the weight of glory. He has to develop the strength of character to carry it in you. Therefore, he says, wait for some time. And that waiting period is not a sleeping period. That waiting period is a period of training. It's a period of working. Look, I always advise people who say they want to do business, say they are looking for capital. I say, don't look for capital. Capital will get into trouble. You will start owing money. Right now, you don't have money, but you are not owing anybody. Let's praise God for that. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? Yes, if somebody decides to lend you 1 million naira, very fine. Now you are owing 1 million naira. Unfortunately, you will use the 1 million naira to learn the dangerous lessons of life. By the time you finish, you have lost some money. They have defrauded you here. You have been careless here. Thief has stolen something from you. When you finish, there's nothing there. All you have done is learned lessons. Listen, eventually you'll be able to pay the 1 million naira back if you learn your lessons well. But it's going to be with heartache and a lot of difficulty. The same lessons you learned burning off 1 million naira, you can learn burning off 1,000 naira of your own. Do you hear what I said? That is the same lessons you learned burning off 1 million naira needlessly. You can learn with 1,000 naira that belongs to you that you don't have to be accountable to anybody for. Do you understand what I mean? That is, it's lost. Okay, fine. Nobody's holding me by the neck. What does God do? You see, those that God wanted to bless, he gave them talents. He said, do business with this until I come. And that was the way they handle small money was used to judge how they will handle great money. Are you getting my point? It's a matter of, proportions. So the man that has the ability to handle plenty, God first gives him small to use to train himself in handling the plenty, to get himself ready. But when you give him plenty first, look, the little he will have lost that will have amounted to only 500 naira is going to now amount to 500,000. So I tell you, you want money for your business, don't worry. Go and labor and get small money. Work somewhere and save your salary for 2 months and get something small. And use that to start and let it build up to great things. Are you getting my point? The Bible says that he that gathers by labor keeps it. Are you following what I'm trying to say? That is, what happens is that you are learning. That's why God is taking time. I've meditated and I've observed. God can give you 200 million naira today if he so desires. Why doesn't he do it? You know the truth? Because he knows it will not change your life. You are the one that thinks it will. Sometimes he said, this is going to wreck you permanently. Right now, your head is only half correct. All right? Now, if I give you more, now you are going to become crazy entirely. Therefore, we'll first correct the half part of your head that's not good with time and training. Do you understand? That's why, look, listen, we must learn to acknowledge and give God thanks all the time. Look, that thing I'm saying is very important. God does not waste your time. The Bible says that God only appears slow as some count slowness. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? Anyway, so that's what the Bible was saying when it says that, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. All right? For whom the Lord loves, he reproves. That is what God is trying to do is to bring something better out of your life. Are you getting my point? That is, the disappointments of your life is so that you will understand certain issues about life. It's very important. It says, so do not loathe the reproof of God, because what you are going through is because of the love that God has for you. And that's why I'm adding that last key to it, the matter of thanksgiving. What should we do? For every blessing that we have every day, we give God thanks, knowing that whatever we are going through, God is working. That's the point I'm trying to make. You have to learn to count your blessings. You know, sometimes you talk to people, they say that, life was much better those days. I say, stop saying things like that. That the truth is that you have not observed closely. If you observe closely, you will discover the things that God has done in your life that you are not even consciously aware of. They said that Nigeria was much better those days. I said, I don't know where you were in the late 80s. I don't know where you were in the early 90s. It is now you are working, you are trying to make money. But that time it was your parents that were doing the suffering for you. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? Well, I'm not even going to have an issue here. If we bother to look, you will discover that indeed God is blessing us every day. Are you getting my point? I said something to us in previous times. I think when we're talking about the creating the opportunity for prosperity, that those who are not thankful, listen, they are unable to identify doors of opportunity that God will bring in their direction. Let me say that again. If you are one that's always grumbling and you are not thankful for what God is doing in your life, you will be unable to identify the doors of opportunity when God brings them in your direction. My good example, which I like to give all the time to young men and women in our country today, is this issue of, I want to emigrate to America, I want to emigrate to Europe. A man gets up, I've seen this before, leaves his wife and family, and goes to Lagos and starts pursuing visas. And he does that for years, and he doesn't get it. Because his mind is so set on where he wants to go, he doesn't do anything else. A year passes, 2 years pass, 3 years pass. At the end of the day, he has achieved nothing. And he turns to his friends, Shebi, I told you. You're all witnesses that I told that there's nothing good happening in this country. What he doesn't realize is that last year, his friend employed the 10th employee that he's paying very good salaries. What he doesn't look at closely, that 2 years before that, a friend of his that didn't have anything doing has now gotten a good job and is doing well and is blessing many people. What he doesn't realize that another one of his friends who did not have a degree before has now completed school and right now is about to finish his postgraduate. And there are doors of opportunities are coming towards these people and they are taking advantage of it because they are thankful and they are busy looking around for what God wants to bring in their direction. But because he's not thankful, he wakes up in the morning. I don't know why NEPA doesn't work. Why should you work? Did you make it work? What I'm going to say, whose responsibility is it to make it work? Who are you blaming? I don't know why the roads are bad. I don't know why he complains from morning till night. Do you understand my point? The one that God has given him, the fact that Nigeria doesn't have tornadoes and hurricanes and stuff like that, he has not remembered to give God thanks for that. The fact that all the earthquakes that happen in Japan doesn't happen in Nigeria, he doesn't remember to thank God for that. That this is a place where I can invest in buildings and no matter what, they won't collapse if I build them well. He doesn't think about that. He doesn't think about all the calamities that happen in other places that don't happen here. He's only thinking about what he would like to have. Because a friend of his called him from the U.S. and said, I just bought a car. He can't sleep again. And I said, I told America what opportunity is. Meanwhile, cars are selling like mad every day in Nigeria. Are you getting my point? What am I saying? We have a responsibility to give God thanks. When we don't, all right, that's the last key I'm giving to us as a foundation for financial prosperity. If we don't give God thanks for that which we have in our hands, then he's unable to multiply it. You will discover that every time that Jesus faced the challenge of people not having enough food to eat, he doesn't go around complaining, there's no food. Peter, I've told you people, always try to bring food along when we're going for this kind of crusade. You know these people, they like to eat. Well, I mean, okay, Judas has taken all the money. What do you mean? You should have told me that Judas took all the money. He didn't say that. He just simply said, what do we have? They presented the little they could get, which one young boy gave as an offering. He said, very fine. And he lifted up his eyes and began to give thanks. And as he was giving thanks, the bread was multiplying. Are you getting my point? And he began to share the bread. It is so, for some people, that didn't happen. They say it was a figurative issue. The story was just an allegory. Look, the truth is that it really happened. But we can also use it as a type of what God can do in our lives today. The little thing that you have as money in your hands, before you start spending it, first settle down and give God thanks. I said to you before, ordinary glass of water, I drink it with thanksgiving. Because that is what God will multiply into an abundance of rain tomorrow. That spirit of thanksgiving. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Please, I hope you are following the point I'm making all of these things. So we'll go through things in life. Solomon said, let's not despise the chastening of the Lord. The fact that you have not achieved something today does not mean you will not achieve it tomorrow. Like I used to say those days, I tell people that, look, I'm going to be so blessed in life, I don't want to die before that time. And I made all my choices, all right? Knowing that in life I will be blessed, and I mustn't die before the day of blessing. Then when we just finished NYC, people will take 3 jobs because they want to buy a car. I said, listen, if I drive this car now, I will die. And what I mean is that it's not as if somebody is chasing me to kill me. What I mean is that I had to work 3 jobs in a day. People work morning till evening, evening till night, and then night till morning in 3 different clinics and earning 5,000 in 3 places because they want to buy a car that's 120,000 naira. I said, listen, anywhere I want to go that buses don't go to and bikes don't go to, I can't take a taxi to, then I won't go there. Listen, don't think that everything was always so rosy. I've had people despise me because I showed up without a car. No, I'm telling you. But I used to see that those days, that the time will come that we'll be buying cars for people as presents. And believe me, those times have come, and they are coming in bigger measures. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? Yes. I said, what is the material things? There's no problem in, look, all those things, God is just using them to build character into us. I thank God so much for the thing he helped me with, because as I told you, the first thing is what? Do not forget my teaching, and let your heart keep my commandments. Those days, what did I do? I listened to the teaching of the word of God that established my heart. Nobody could dissuade me. Nobody could make me afraid of the future. Nobody. I remember the day I read Isaiah chapter 66 verse 12. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. For me, I told everybody that, look, I must live long. That's number one. All this running up and down because you want to achieve something that God has not given to you easily. I said, I won't participate in it. There is a job for each season. At that particular point in time, my job was to continue my postgraduate training as a resident doctor. So, I faced it. I used to tell my friends jokingly, I said, listen. And actually, as a matter of fact, I said, if you come to Lagos, and like this, you are sure I'm in town, then you can be sure if I'm in one or three places. I'm either in my office, or I'm in my apartment, and both of them are in the same compound. I lived on the premises of the hospital where I worked. Or I have gone to church. I said, any other time you look for me, I'm not in one of these three places. That means I traveled. And do you know it never failed? Either was at home, or in the office, which was just 2-5 minutes through from my apartment, or I really have gone to church. There was nobody else, no other place I went to. The times people looked for me and I wasn't there, they didn't check. I was just down the corridor in somebody else's apartment. He said, why didn't you used to go out? I said, simple. I didn't have the money to run up and down. And Bishop Oedipo used to say that, why are you looking for those who are not looking for you anyway? Then he said, everybody has no problem. Stop jumping from one place to the other. Therefore, I settled down. Why? Because I said I must live longer. The reason, because I know that the time of God's abundance will come. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Listen, we talked about the matter of patience. Very important. But I'm going to bring out an issue here. That even during that time of patience, one of the things that gives us the strength to hold on is that knowledge that God indeed is working behind the scene. Therefore, we give him thanks at all times. I have seen opportunities come that I thought I could take hold of, and he did, and I couldn't, and it passed. Like I always say, you are not the only one that God wants to bless. So I give God thanks. Say, Father, I thank you because you have sent that blessing to somebody else. My own will come. Like I always say, oh, my blessing has my name on it, no matter how powerful you are as a prayer warrior. No matter how wicked you are as a devil, you cannot take it from me. If God has said, this blessing, send it to Banky's house, you can pray from now till tomorrow. Speak all the tongues that your grandfathers ever knew and your descendants will learn. Speak it. Fast until your stomach perforates. Do you understand my point? You cannot draw it towards you. It's mine. Are you getting me? Use all the occultic powers you have. You can't take that which belongs to me. Are you following the point I'm making? That I have come to understand. Therefore, I relax in God's hands at all times. Like I say, I don't know where I'm going to be tomorrow. In fact, I like one thing. For those of us who know music, there's this group called Sounds of Blackness. One of their first albums, one of the tracks there's a line there that really, really trips me up every time I remember it. He said, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Do you understand the point? I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And the Bible says that that person who holds the future delights in the prosperity of his servants. People say, well, I think you should start building a house here. I said, listen, my friend, I don't know where I'm going to be in 10 years' time. A year before I came here, I did not know I was going to come. Therefore, I will not knock my head until the crop permits that I might put in the sickle when the harvest has come. Let me just read that scripture and I close with it. The book of Mark chapter 4. From verse 26, it said, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil and goes to bed at night and gets up by day. And the seed sprouts up and grows. How? He himself does not know. It said, the soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Let me read that line again, 29. When the crop permits, he begins to take necessary actions because he recognizes that the harvest has come. Now, a time will come in your life when your crop will begin to permit. Please listen to this. What do we mean when we say crop permits? No, let's take a few steps backwards first. He said there is a seed time, like we said the other time when we were talking about patience, and there is harvest. He said between seed time and harvest, you will discover a steady progress in your life. Are you getting my point? It may not be fast, but this is the steady. He said the crop grows. The soil produces crop by itself. He said you discover the blade, then the ear, before the mature grain in the ear. But when the crop permits, or some Bibles will say when the grain is mature, that is, a man recognizes the time that he can put in the sickle and begin to harvest. I like the way Robert Kiyosaki said it in his book. He said that is when you can buy luxury with passive income. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? This is the way I say it. When to achieve anything does not remove sleep from your eyes. Do you get my point? Until that time, the crop has not permitted. I remember then when I finished my youth service and I went to Lagos, that was when God really taught me that lesson. I saw boys struggling with three jobs because they wanted to pay for one car that was worth less than 100,000 naira. And I saw men just look at the car, like it, walk to the bank, draw 3 million naira of those days and pay for it and walk away. And I saw the people who did all the transactions share the profit on top of it. And yours sincerely, I was a post-NYC medical doctor and I needed to work for like 4 months to earn some of the things these guys used to earn in 3 days. And I told myself, in life, if God doesn't bless you, you will not be blessed. That is all. That is not possible. I saw people trying to struggle. I said, listen, a man should work hard, but not for material. You know, like, I want to buy a car. No. Do 3 jobs, the crop has not yet permitted. Oh boy, trek, you don't need the car. Buy a motorbike, chun chun, all these cheap ones all over town. But no, really, I'm serious. All these Chinese bikes, buy one. That is a better way to live than to go and get headache. Are you getting my point? Heart problems because you are competing with your cousin who has a different destiny, who God is working with. You know, the other day I was thinking about one of my friends. No, two of us were talking, actually. And he said, this young man, he has really enjoyed the corporate world. And that's the truth. That since we left school, he has always had the car and he has never bought one. As soon as he got his first job, of course, they gave him an official car because his job required it. In fact, to let you know that it's not like if the man was enjoying, all right? Anytime we will meet, maybe we'll say, let us see now. Ah, he has places to go. He will insist I drive because he'll be tired of driving. From one job, last time I saw him, they just bought the place where he's working now, where he's a big shot. His official car, just asked, is this car private or official? He said, anyhow you like, look at it. That is, it's the company's car, but it's my private car. Was the latest model Camry, XLE. At that time, his particular model was costing close to 6 million naira. But the point is this, from day one, he had one to drive. That was his job. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Now, it doesn't mean he's more blessed than I am. It doesn't mean he's more blessed than anybody else. That was just his life. I don't know whether you get my point. Whether you bought it with your money or a company gave it to you, God is the one that supplied all our needs at the appropriate time. The time he had this car to be run all over Lagos, believe me, I would not have taken his job for anything in the world. I didn't want it. The amount of hassle he had to go through driving that car from one place to the other, I said no. Now, he was enjoying himself. But that was not my destiny. It was not my career. It was not my path. And anytime I will see him, I will rejoice. In fact, we've almost used to pray that they will give him a new one together. Do you understand my point? He said, one day he drove a car to my house. He said, Banky, I wanted to see this. He said, this car, I believed God for it. I said, what happened? He said, one day they went for a conference. He saw the car. He went back home. I said, God, they are sending that car to me in Lagos. No, he's tired of this one. Next thing they knew, the events happened. One thing happened, they changed his car. We started driving the car again. Do you understand what I'm explaining? From one level to the other, that has been his own life, and that has never been my life or that of other people. The problem a lot of people have is that they start comparing themselves. People would answer that if I had known those days, I should have studied pharmacy. Listen, I like the fact that I studied medicine. Yes, I like it. I hope you've gotten my point. All right, so that concludes our series on foundations and pillars of financial prosperity, and next time we'll go on to something else.
We trust that you were blessed by the message. More materials and information about Kingdom Word Ministries are freely obtainable when you visit us at kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.com. We would like to hear from you on how much this production has blessed you. Please write us at mails@kwm.com.ng or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.